Okay, let's dive into something really vital today, STEAM education. You know, science, tech, engineering, arts, math. It's just fundamental for those 21st century skills, problem solving, innovation. But there's a specific challenge, and the sources you shared really zero in on it. How do we make things like programming and robotics, the real hands-on stuff, truly accessible for everyone? And your sources focus specifically on students with visual impairments.
Yeah, and it's a big hurdle with the way things are usually done. I mean, think about coding when the whole interface is visual, or trying to figure out what a robot's doing across the room when you can't see it. The sources, they really highlight this key problem. Students with visual impairments often lose that direct real-time sense of what the robot is actually doing, especially once it starts moving around like in a maze or something. It makes debugging, you know, figuring out why your code isn't working, incredibly difficult if you're not getting that constant spatial feedback.
That makes total sense. If you lose the visual link, you lose that immediate feedback loop you need for learning. And you've brought us some really fascinating sources that outline, well, a pretty clever framework designed to tackle exactly that gap using some quite advanced technology. Mm-hmm. So that's our mission for this deep dive, right? Let's unpack these sources. Let's really get into how the system is supposed to work, what makes it inclusive, and, well, what the potential here really is, maybe even beyond the classroom.
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's unpack the problem first. You mentioned barriers with visual impairments. Can you elaborate a bit on what that looks like when you're trying to program a physical robot?
Well, the sources spell it out pretty clearly. You've got the initial hurdle of coding environments, visual drag and drop, or even text editors where layout matters. But let's say you get past that with an accessible tool. The real crunch comes when the robot starts moving in physical space. Robotics is just inherently spatial.
Yes.
You need to know where it is, which way it's facing, how far it is from that wall. Without sight, keeping track of that in real time is just really tough.
Right.
So take a task like a maze. You write your code, go forward, turn left, whatever, you hit run. But then, how do you know if it actually turned correctly? Is it about to bump into something? Did it find the opening? The sources mentioned previous approaches, and while they helped, students often lost that moment-by-moment connection once the robot was off and running. They'd kind of program, launch it, and then just wait. They couldn't really react or debug during the run.
So they missed that critical immediate feedback, the why behind something going wrong.
Exactly. Which is fundamental to learning, isn't it? But, and this is crucial, the sources really stress this isn't about the student's capability. Not at all. They show amazing problem-solving skills. The issue isn't logic or thinking. It's purely about getting access to the necessary information, that real-time spatial stuff, in a way they can perceive.
It's an access gap, plain and simple, not a capability gap. And the sources do nod to earlier efforts, don't they? Things like accessible coding platforms, tactile kits.
Oh, absolutely. And there were important steps. You know, platforms like Quorum, accessibility features in Blockly, or MakeCode with sound cues, tactile elements, valuable groundwork. But this new framework described in the sources, it really tries to leverage more recent tech, especially computer vision, to push beyond that, to translate the visual world more dynamically.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting then. How does this framework actually do that? What's the core technology they're proposing to give students that real-time awareness?
So the basic idea, right, is to use computer systems, cameras, and AI to see the physical environment, the robot, the maze, any obstacles, and then translate all that visual info into detailed, real-time, non-visual feedback, mainly using sound. Computer vision, or CV, is the heart of it. It's basically teaching machines to interpret images and video to understand what they're seeing.
And it's not just looking through one pair of eyes, is it? The sources mentioned multiple cameras.
That's right, yeah. A multi-camera approach seems key. The sources describe having an overhead camera first, positioned above everything, looking down on the whole track or maze. Think of it like a god's eye view. It maps the whole space, figures out the robot's starting point, and then tracks its general movement across the area. It can even generate descriptions based on that wide view.
Okay, the big picture.
Exactly. And then, crucially, the robot has its own camera, usually a stereo camera mounted right on it. This gives the close-up first-person perspective. Stereo is important because it can sense depth, how far things are. That's vital for seeing obstacles right in front of the robot as it moves. So you're combining the global view with the robot's immediate local view.
Ah, I see. So the bird's eye view and the robot's own perspective constantly feeding information.
Precisely. And the really clever part is turning all that visual data into something usable without sight. The framework pulls in a few other key technologies for this. One is SLAM simultaneous localization and mapping. Bit of a mouthful, but it's basically how the robot figures out its exact position within the environment while it's also building or updating its internal map of that environment. It keeps track of itself.
So it knows where it is even as it explores.
Exactly. Then there's audio virtual reality, or AVR. This uses spatial audio. This is where the translation really happens. The system takes the spatial info where the robot is, where the walls are, and creates a 3D soundscape. So sounds aren't just beeps. They come from specific directions, giving you auditory cues about locations, distances, almost like a spatial feel.
Wow, okay, like surround sound for navigation.
Sort of, yeah. And finally, speech-based interaction. This makes it intuitive. Speech to text, STT, lets the student just talk to the system, give commands, go forward, turn left, that kind of thing. And text and speech, TTS, takes the system's understanding, the descriptions the AI generates from the images, and speaks them out loud in natural language. We're all detected 2 feet ahead.
Okay, so let's put it all together. Walk us through it. A student wants the robot to navigate that maze. How does this flow work in practice?
Right. The sources break it down into roughly 3 phases. First is global localization. That overhead camera looks at the maze, figures out the walls, maybe makes a digital map like an occupancy grid. It spots the robot using feature matching and tells the student, okay, robot is at the start, facing north. Uses TTS for that.
Got it. Initial setup.
Then the student gives a command, maybe move forward. Now we're in local navigation. The robot starts moving. Its stereo camera is constantly scanning ahead, using depth perception to measure distances to walls or obstacles, maybe object detection, identify specific things. All this local info, combined with the overhead tracking and SLAM keeping the precise location updated, gets fed back continuously.
Through that spatial audio and the voice description.
Exactly. So the student might hear something like, sound of synthesized voice, moving forward, obstacle detected, 3 units ahead, turning left, wall approaching on right. It aims for that constant dynamic awareness.
So it's not just programming and hoping, it's interacting during the process.
Precisely. And that third piece, AI image understanding and speech interaction, is running constantly. The AI models are looking at the camera feeds, generating those text descriptions, which TTS speaks, and STT is always listening for the student's voice commands, turning them into actions for the robot, often Python code behind the scenes. And what's really interesting, the sources suggest, is how it might handle the unexpected. If the robot sees something it wasn't told about, it could potentially describe it unknown object ahead, and maybe even ask the student, what should I do? Go left.
That's amazing. It allows for real-time problem solving. And what about safety? Running into walls, falling off edges?
Oh yeah, that's built in. The stereo camera's depth sensing is key. There are safety thresholds. If an obstacle gets too close, the robot stops automatically, prevents collisions. And that overhead camera acts as another safety layer, checking if the robot wanders way off course.
Makes sense. And the maze environment itself, why focus on a maze for this?
Well, mazes are just a classic, effective tool for teaching core programming concepts, aren't they? They naturally require sequencing steps, thinking spatially, using logic like if-then for walls, and importantly, debugging when things go wrong. It provides a structured, controlled way for students to practice these skills while the system gives that targeted, multimodal feedback. It makes the whole learning process, especially troubleshooting, much more concrete.
Okay, so stepping back a bit, what does this all mean? Beyond just helping a student navigate a classroom maze, what are the bigger implications here?
Well, for inclusive STEAM education, it's potentially huge. It directly tackles that core challenge we talked about, the lack of real-time awareness. It really could open up robotics and programming in a much more hands-on, intuitive way for visually impaired students, fostering that spatial thinking, logical reasoning, skills that were harder to cultivate before in this specific domain.
And it feels like these principles, this tech, could be useful well beyond STEAM class.
If we connect this to the bigger picture. Yes, definitely. The sources explicitly mention adapting this kind of framework for orientation and mobility training O&M. That's teaching visually impaired individuals navigation skills for the real world. Imagine using the same tech AI perception, spatial audio feedback, voice interaction in realistic simulations, or maybe even guided real-world practice to help someone learn routes, identify hazards, build confidence navigating complex spaces.
Wow.
And you can even extrapolate further, right? Thinking about smart city accessibility. Could elements of this tech be integrated into public spaces, train stations, airports, busy streets, providing real-time personalized audio guidance through spatial sound? It really speaks to leveraging tech for greater independence and safety.
That's incredibly promising, a really exciting vision. But, you know, these are research sources and they always point out the bumps in the road too. What limitations or challenges do they highlight?
That's a very important point. While the potential is clear, the sources are quite grounded about the hurdles. One major one is just the technical complexity and the setup. Calibrating multiple cameras precisely, integrating all the different software layers, the AI models. It needs serious computational power and technical know-how. It's not exactly a simple kit you just unbox right now. That could be tough for schools without strong tech support or resources.
Right. Not quite plug and play yet.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Then there's environmental dependency. Mm-hmm. Computer vision can be sensitive. It works best with good, consistent lighting, clear surfaces. Real-world environments are, well, messy. Dynamic lighting, clutter, unexpected things, making the system robust enough for all that is a big ongoing challenge.
Okay. What else?
User adaptation. Even though it's designed for accessibility, learning to really utilize spatial audio effectively, relying on voice commands, it's a new way of interacting. Students and educators would need good training and very user-friendly onboarding.
Mm-hmm. Learning curve.
Yeah. And the sources also flagged potential latency delays in the feedback. If the audio description lags even slightly behind what the robot is doing, it could be really confusing, especially for debugging. Optimizing that real-time processing is critical.
I can see that.
Then there's scalability and cost. For this to be widely adopted, the hardware needs to be affordable, the setup needs to be simpler, research into lower-cost sensors, maybe cloud processing is probably needed. And of course, anytime you have cameras and microphones collecting data, especially in an educational setting, you have privacy considerations. Strong data protection, clear consent protocols, regulatory compliance, those are absolutely essential ethical and practical hurdles to address.
Okay, so quite a few practical challenges to overcome for widespread use.
For sure. It's promising, but still needs development.
So we've really deep dived into this framework, using computer vision, spatial audio, speech interaction, all combined to tackle that fundamental challenge of making robotics accessible for students with visual impairments by providing that crucial real-time feedback.
It really does feel like a significant step, not just conceptually for the classroom, but with these clear potential pathways into things like mobility training and maybe even broader accessibility in our cities.
Yeah, despite those technical hurdles and the implementation challenges we just discussed, the core vision laid out in these sources is really compelling, isn't it? Using these advanced technologies to break down longstanding barriers and create genuinely inclusive learning environments, empowering students. When you think about this whole system, what really stands out to you the most? Is it the sheer technical ingenuity of combining all these different pieces? Or is it more about the potential human impact really changing how a student can engage with these complex subjects? Or maybe it's even bigger picture, thinking about how this reshapes accessibility.
That's a great question for me. Well, maybe it prompts us to think ahead. Consider this. As these kinds of technologies, AI perception, spatial computing, keep getting better and more integrated, how else could we use them? Not just to patch problems in existing systems, but to fundamentally rethink how we design education, how we design our public spaces to be inclusive right from the start. What new possibilities does this open up for empowering people with diverse needs, maybe in ways we haven't even imagined yet?